Today we have Sherry Witt talking with us about her experience with marathon racing. Thanks for joining us today, Sherry. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Good. I'm glad to be here in Camarillo with you. Beautiful home you have and a great running community that I'm excited to talk to
we
today.
We have a great Galloway program here, and even through COVID, we've been able to keep our core group together and still run. We have kind of a herd immunity, so
Awesome. All right, and let's just get into a few demographic questions that I like answering just to see, you know, where marathoners are coming from. How old are you and what's your day job?
So I am 55 years old, double nickels, and I am a CFO, so I'm a numbers person. My husband and I own several companies, and which is great because it allows me to kind of be a little bit more free with my time, you know.
So, I love that. Yeah. Keeps things interesting, from one company to the next. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And tell us a little bit about your first marathon race.
So my first marathon race, let me back up a little bit. In 2013, I got really sick. I had E. coli, but it was undiagnosed. So I was in and out of the hospital for about 4 months. And I had a stroke. Almost died. And they told my husband at that point that they couldn't find brain activity. They said, you know, if she comes out of this, she will never be the same. And I think, well, is that a bad thing, you know? So when I woke up and they figured out what was wrong, UCLA was the one who finally figured it out. I thought, there's so many things that I have never done in life, you know, and we always put things off, right? And I realized that if I had not woken up, I would have never known. It was just like this emptiness. So I got better, and I immediately wanted to climb a mountain, you know, jump out of an airplane, run a marathon, because I was not an active person as a kid, you know.
All of those bucket list type items it was time to do.
Yep. And so I did. I jumped out of an airplane. I climbed Mount Whitney. And my girlfriend at the time, who has been my friend since we were in first grade, she said, hey, sure, we should run a marathon together. Let's go back to Fargo, which is where we grew up, Fargo, North Dakota, and let's run the marathon there together. So I said, yeah, let's do it. You know, how hard can it be? So we signed up. And then I realized, I thought, gosh, you know, this is really hard. I can't even go 3 miles without walking, you know? And I just didn't have any stamina or energy. So I went to my doctor and I said, I don't know what's going on. And he said, oh, you are postmenopausal. So I had, through this whole illness and hospitalization, and had kickstarted my body into menopause. And I didn't even realize it. And I thought I was just going crazy, you know. So my husband goes, oh, that explains so much. So I remember I had never been to Hawaii either. So my husband and I were going to Hawaii for the first time. And the doctor said, we have 5 levels of hormones. He goes, most people are happy right in the middle, but we'll start you at the lowest level. And I said, no, you're going to start me in the middle, because I don't have time to figure out what. We'll start in the middle and we'll go from there. We can go up or down. So I still couldn't do more than 6 miles running. And then I would start walking and I could never get back up to running. So I said to my friend, I said, gosh, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. And she goes, there's this guy. And she goes, I do a lot of Disney races. His name is Jeff Galloway. And he's got this run walk thing. She goes, let's try it. We'll do 30-30. I said, okay. So at that time, I had not really looked into the whole Galloway method. So I started doing 30-second run, 30-second walk. That's what 30-30 is. And I thought, oh, I could do this. So it was good. And I had used some free marathon app, and so it was based on time and not distance. So my longest training run for my first marathon was 13 miles.
Wow. Yeah. And you were able to still finish that marathon.
The only thing that saved me was that I had time on my feet at that point, because I was training to climb Mount Whitney. So we would do, you know, 20-mile hikes, and we would do, you know, 15-16-hour hikes. So I had the time on. So I think that that's really what saved me. So I didn't have a problem during the race, and I believe that it was mile 23 when I realized I was going to finish this, you know, feat, and I, you know, just started crying because it's very emotional.
Of course, the first marathon, you see that finish yeah. line in sight, and yeah. you're almost there at mile 23. Yeah, it's amazing. Incredible feeling.
And so the race wasn't hard. It was the recovery.
Okay, well, let's go back a second. Tell us a little bit about the Fargo Marathon, because I haven't had any guests so far that have run it, and I can't imagine it's the most popular race out there. So
it is amazing race. It's surprising because everybody in the community comes out. They set up their lawn chairs, and they sit there and they cheer you on. They have licorice. They have Otter Pops. I mean, people are handing stuff out. They're cheering you on, and it's a very big community race. It's very flat because it's, you know, Fargo. And since we grew up there, everywhere we ran, it was like running through your old neighborhood.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, probably brought back some memories and nostalgia.
It did. And I had, so I hadn't really been back to Fargo at that point since probably I left in 1986. I was in the military.
Wow. So I was Thank you Navy. For your service.
Thank you. And so I left for boot camp in 1986, and I thought, gosh, there's actually sunshine in the wintertime. I'm never going back. So
once you leave and come to California, yeah, it's tough. Tell me about it.
It's hard. So it was a great race. And it really, when we finished it, I go, oh my gosh, when's the next one? I was hooked. I was hooked on the distance and the adrenaline rush, or whatever you want to call it, of the finish. And so we signed up for the Minneapolis Medtronics Marathon, which takes place, I believe, the same weekend as Chicago. And then on that one, I, of course, made a rookie mistake. And I thought, well, I've already run 26 miles. I don't have to train that hard. And so that one started, I started having some problems, not injuries, but some issues like with my Achilles and whatnot. And so it was after that race, because then we signed up for Dopey. Do you know what Dopey is?
I don't. What is Dopey?
Dopey is Galloway people who like Disney. Dopey is a 4-day race. It's 48.6 miles, I believe. I think I have that right. It's a 5-10 half full. So you run every race 4 days in a row.
Oh, wow. That sounds pretty grueling. This was your third time racing?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a pretty impressive step up from one marathon to this Dopey challenge.
Right. Go big or go home.
Go
right?
big or go home. Yeah. I like your spirit, yeah. Cherry.
So I had to go see a sports doctor to figure out what's going on with my Achilles. And then I thought, you know, I was doing this run-walk ratio, but there's more to the Galloway method than just the run-walk ratio. So I looked on his website, and I saw that he had a retreat over my birthday weekend. So I said to my husband, can we go to this retreat? Because I really want to learn more about this method. And I thought it was going to be some big auditorium-filled room with maybe I'd get a picture with him, you know. But it was a very small, intimate retreat. It was, I think, 12 people were there. And I learned about every nuance of run walk, and so that really helped, because if you want to do these things without being injured, you have to have a plan, right? You can't just go and run, and you can't just do your long runs and not do your weekday drills, because you will get injured. So that's when I realized there was no run walk in our community, and so I said maybe I should be a program director and start a group here. So that's what I did.
Awesome. Now let's go back a few steps here to your very first marathon. Okay. You mentioned you were 50 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty interesting age to get started marathon running. Mm-hmm. And you really think that stroke really prompted you to start running?
Yeah, I think so. I think so when I was in the hospital, local hospital, they hadn't figured out what was wrong. They had the E. coli affected my kidneys, my right kidney. So I had a lot of kidney damage from this. And just wanting to do all the things, you know, travel. I'd never really traveled before. You know, I went to Athens and I got to run the original marathon route with Jeff Galloway and his wife Barb. So I got to run.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, and I went to Paris. I ran the Paris marathon. I mean, just being able to travel and be in this healthy, you know, being in shape to do these things, I never thought it was going to be possible again for me.
Amazing to hear that sort of perseverance you had, and really just a change in mindset, you know, after this tragic life accident that you had, and really just, you know, you made it a positive thing in your life.
Well, and I wasn't an unhealthy person before, but when after I got sick and I got out of the hospital and the doctor said, okay, so here's stuff you can't do. You can't drink. You can't eat fat foods. You can't have salt anymore. You can't have any of this stuff because your kidneys, you'll have you dialysis is, you know, would be in your future if you don't listen. And I said, that's all I need to hear. You know, it's interesting when somebody, you know, tells you and you have that scare, you got to change. And, you know, what are you going to do about it? So for me, the change was, well, I'm going to be the healthiest me I can be. You know,
I love that mentality and really just embracing change and, you know, taking your life to the next level. I'm extremely impressed.
Yeah.
Now, I am curious, what's something you learned about yourself after that very first marathon in Fargo and in general, you know, through marathon racing?
I think what I learned was, is that, you know, you could have been doing this the whole time. You know, I think, you know, all the different distances and ultras that I really love distance running. I like Forrest Gump, you know, to run across the United States would be like an ultimate dream for me. So that's what I discovered about myself, is I love the distance.
I love that. And that would be on my bucket list too, to run across America someday. So tell our listeners a little bit about how many marathons you've run since Fargo, maybe ballparking and maybe a few of the highlights.
I would have to say marathon, including marathon distances, because Galloway trains. You run, so nothing new on race day means the distance too. So we always run the marathon distance before the marathon. So I run at least a marathon a month.
Wow, that's pretty amazing and interesting, because a lot of training programs don't do that. They usually go to 20 or 22 miles.
18, 20, 22, which I never understood, because when you're running a race, that last 10K is the hardest, most grueling part of the race. So if your body already knows what's going to happen, you know, and you don't have to run it at race pace. You run it at a long conversational pace, but you get used to the endurance and your body says, okay, so mile 24 comes, I know what to do because I just did that. Mm-hmm. So, so I do probably COVID hit and pre-COVID, I was doing about two marathons a year or not a year, a month. And then, so I'd have to say I've probably done about 100 or so. In the
last, 100 marathons since you turned 50. That's pretty incredible to, you know, to consider just the age and the endurance that you have now.
And I, you know, like I said, I just did Mount Lemmon a couple weeks back. Cause it's really hard to find in-person races right now. And, you know, last year was the year of the virtual races. So, I mean, we were doing marathons a couple a month and, you know, last year I did my first 100 miler.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, I did all those Yeti challenges everybody was doing, the 24 hour challenges, the 50 milers, the 50 Ks. I mean, if there was a distance out there, we were doing it, signing up for them and doing them.
I love that. So now let's go back to all those marathons that you ran. Is there one that you really loved the most that you would put as your sort of favorite marathon?
Yeah. So like I said, I have this... you know, there's a whole Facebook community of Galloway Facebook pages. One of them that I founded was called Just Jeffing It. And we had, we were getting ready to run the Marine Corps Marathon. I think that was 2019. I believe it was 2019. And that was the year they had the big monsoon. I don't know if you've heard about the Marine. So that was this, and if anybody ran the Marine Corps Marathon, they know exactly which one I'm talking about. But we had like 50 or 60 people from the group who were just like, is anybody pacing this marathon, you know, doing Galloway? And I said, well, I'll be there so I can pace. So we did 30-30 and we had probably 50 people show up. So it was like, I turned around and I saw these sea of people following me. It felt like Forrest Gump, you know, when he was running. And we got a lot of people to the finish of that race, and it was, I think, the most rewarding for me because I love helping people. So I got to help a lot of people finish their first marathon. Maybe they wanted to run the Marine Corps. They had a family member who was in the military. So, and then, of course, one of our members was, it was his 70th birthday, so he was there running too. So,
That's amazing. Just the running community is one of my favorite parts of running, the strength of everyone and sort of rallying around each other around a you know, the same goal to finish that race is, yep, is pretty amazing. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, you're all about helping out people, because I think that's the most important thing we could all do in this world is just help each other, yep, out and push each other to do better.
Yeah.
Now, what was the highlight of that specific race? Because I used to live in Washington, D.C. for a few years, and I just love that area. It's so beautiful with the monuments. And curious to hear, what was number one highlight of that race?
The highlight of that race, I think it's called Mile 21. It's the Blue Mile. And you run it, and it's just so emotionally overwhelming. You see people who are holding up, they have flags, or there's pictures of their loved ones. And these are all people who've died for our country. So, and it's for every war. It's not just current. It's throughout time. And it's just so emotionally overwhelming. And there's no words for it. If you ever get a chance to run a marathon, I highly recommend the Marine Corps Marathon, because it just makes you feel proud to be an American, you know?
I absolutely love that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I did not serve in the military, but it's one of those things that I wish was almost mandatory in our country, because I think a lot of people don't know enough people in the military these days, and it's probably a smaller amount of the population that serves in the military these days than runs marathons.
Probably, but what did they say, less than 1% of, yep, the world has ever completed a marathon?
0.5%. Yeah, and yeah, I think in America, I think it's about 1% of people who have served in the military, give or take, at any given time. So thank you again for your service.
Thank
and I mean, the Marine Corps Marathon is something that's been on my bucket list. I'm going to have to check that out when I go back to D.C. For sure. So.
And there's also, you know, there's an Air Force Marathon.
Okay, where's that one?
That one's in Dayton, Ohio. That one is a Galloway-supported race, and so I do pace that one. I believe it is happening this year. It's in September, so it's usually on the birth date of the Air Force, and that's in September. So it's hotter than heck, because it's in September, and it's in Dayton, Ohio. And the first year I ran it, the race, that was the only time I had a DNF, because at mile 23, I was running with Jeff and Barb, and Jeff had just gotten done telling everybody, okay, so it's going to be hot out there, so slow down and adjust for the heat, because we're against dying and we're against puking, right?
And definitely against both of those.
Yeah. So we were at about mile 23, and I guess the heat on the pavement was past the limits where they were comfortable, and all the medical tents were full. So they stopped the race, and they brought a bus, and they said, get on. And so I remember Jeff going, well, you know, we feel great, so can we go on? And they go, no, get on the bus. And I was like, aw.
So, wow, that has to be a first.
Yeah, we were told, you know, you don't mess with the military. When they say get on the bus, you get on the bus.
Yeah, gotta listen for
gotta
sure.
Gotta listen.
Follow the orders, right?
Yep.
Awesome. And now you also mentioned you traveled internationally for a few marathons. Any specific ones you wanted to talk about there?
So I've done the Paris Marathon, and that was great. People in Paris are very enthusiastic about their marathons. And it's, you know, if you don't speak the language, I was there with the group, but I was running by myself. And I got into the race because of the Rally North Carolina race director there was a medical group that was, they had like 50 spots. And so they hadn't filled them all up. So they opened it up, and you know, he brought it up at one of the Galloway program directors meetings, and I was like, yeah, I want to go. So I signed up, and you're running, and sometimes you're running through these areas where maybe you've got 3 feet because the people standing there are cheering you on in such a manner. They're like, go! And it's a little scary because you don't know. You can't understand what they're saying. It seems like they're even angry at you, you know, they're just that enthusiastic. So that was a great race. You run by the Eiffel Tower. It was just amazing. I think I ran it was a sub 5 marathon. It wasn't a PR or anything, because I was just there enjoying the area.
Yeah, taking the sights and the sounds. I think that's one of my favorite parts of racing.
Yeah, when you run a lot of marathons, you don't run everyone as a PR. You run long run, you know, slower paces, and you know, even though I'm a program director and I'm a RRCA certified running coach, I still have a coach. I think that a person who is their own coach has a fool for a client, right?
Yep.
So And
he, you know, that's a good point. Let's actually just talk about that for a second and unravel that, because I think a lot of marathon runners don't use coaches. I've never used one, actually, and I've done three races. And looking back after my first one, I was like, I should definitely use a coach. So tell us a little bit about the benefits of working with a running coach.
So there's different, there's all sorts of different kinds of coaching programs. You can do, you can be with a group. You can do one-on-one. You can do, Galloway does customized coaching, which is, it's a less expensive, like, so Jeff, you can e-coach with Jeff. So you're doing an e-type coaching one-on-one with him. Or you can do, and a lot of different marathon programs have these different types. So just, I'm just using what I know. Customized is where you meet up once a week via Zoom and you go over what you know, what's working, what isn't working, and then they customize a program based on what you tell them your needs are. I'm a program director for Galloway, so we do have, we're a year-round program here in California, and other than COVID, we had, so our last program ended October, and then we decided not to have another program until we knew more about COVID, because the last program we had was really difficult. We had a lot of people who run shamed us, you know, because we were still out. We kept our, we followed all the rules and everything, but there was just a lot of people. There's a lot of people who were afraid. They didn't know. And so
the unknown of COVID definitely was a little scary at first. And, you know, I ran the LA Marathon a week before COVID.
Me
and
too.
You were there? Oh, you were there too. All right. Oh, yeah. So we must have just missed each other there.
I ran for Team Determination, the American Cancer Society. My mom died from cancer. My father-in-law died from cancer. And my daughter had cancer.
Hey, I'm sorry to hear that. And my mother passed away from cancer as well. So it's a cause close to my heart.
Mm-hmm. And so I was there and I got to help two people finish their first marathon. So that was really fun.
That's such an amazing feeling. I need to do that. And now, you know, going back to the pandemic, I am curious, how has that sort of changed your approach to running during COVID?
What it did was it allowed me to focus more on distance. So instead of getting upset or stop, you know, like people talked about the COVID-10, you know, what I'm just like, everybody got super depressed. Well, we use that because, you know, we were still trying to encourage people to get out there and motivate them to keep running. And, you know, Galloway is such a huge community and we all try and pull together. I mean, I have friends, you know, Janet, and there's people all over who I've interacted with either personally or via Facebook or Zoom. And we were trying to figure out how do we keep people motivated and keep them positive. So, you know, like I said, we would go out and we would do these Yeti challenges and we would do like the 100 miler and 50 miler. And when I did the 100 mile challenge, I was in Strava and I would say marathon number one. And then when that one was, I was like marathon number two. So you're doing literally back to back, almost four full marathons in 100 miles. So I think that's what COVID did, is it made me delve into longer distances, you know, because the marathon's not enough, right?
I love that mentality. I mean, we have people out there that are probably looking to do their first marathon and now share your an inspiration. I think doing 100 mile races at your age is pretty incredible.
Well, and they, you know, I like to say that the half marathon is the perfect distance, right? I mean, if you want to do something that you've never done before, shoot for a half. We have people who love the 5K, they love the 10K. Every distance has its merits, it has its pros, it has its cons. But I've always just been partial to the marathon, and I don't know why. I just love the distance.
I love it too, and that's why we're hosting the podcast here. So I totally agree with you there. Now, I am curious just in terms of the marathons that you've run, you know, so many. Is there one that's been scenic that you really loved for just, you know, the pure beauty of the race?
Yeah, Big Sur.
Big Sur. Let's dive into that because that's one of my favorite places. I haven't run there yet, but tell us a little bit about the Big Sur Marathon.
So the Big Sur Marathon, I ran that. So I started running. When I started running marathons, how it came about, okay, so I had run the Fargo Marathon, then the Minneapolis Marathon, then I did Dopey. And then I decided, at that point, I was like, you know what, this marathon, this is for the birds. This is just a lot of, I mean, because at that point, I was not having any fun. And so I had after I had gone to the Jeff's retreat, I thought, gosh, you know, I'm going to have to run this marathon because I'm going to be this program director. And Jeff, of course, said, I'll e-coach you. And I signed up for the LA Marathon. Well, then when I realized that you had to run 26 miles as a training run, and he even goes up to 29 miles, I thought, well, once I hit 23 miles, I said, well, where's a race? Because if you're going to run that, and I was training solo at that point. I was not training because I still didn't have the group. So I didn't have any running buddies. And if you can do anything, find a running buddy, because they will keep you motivated and they will keep you accountable.
That's a great tip for everyone out there. Running buddies are awesome. I used one in Philly, which helped me set my PR.
Yeah. And, you know, find a group, find people you can run with that makes it fun. And that's what running is all about. It's about having fun. But so I think Big Sur was April. So February I had done a couple of smaller races. I did LA. I was training for LA, but then I did like Surf City. And then I thought, okay, let's keep going. So I did Big Sur. And Big Sur was interesting because it's a lot of hills. It's a beautiful course. It was raining the year I ran it. And that was like mile 21. Because you have to get to mile, I can't remember what mile. I think it's like mile 21. Seems to be a good cutoff. And if you don't get there by a certain time, then you get on the bus and you go home, right? And so I got there and all of a sudden I realized, and these are, you know, mental tricks. Everybody plays mental tricks when they're running. My hip started bothering me and I couldn't put any weight on my leg. And I thought, what the heck? Because I was going to go for a PR. Every race was going to be a PR because I didn't know any better at this point, right? And so I kept thinking, okay, so walk. So I walked and I walked. And when I walked, it didn't hurt. But when I started to run, it felt like there was just no rigidity in my leg. Like there was no stability. It was the weirdest thing. And so I would just kind of do this thing where I would look around and then I would just run a little bit. Like if I tricked my body into doing it, like I would do it and it wouldn't know I was doing it. And I got to the finish line. I don't remember what I finished that race. And I'm sure it's on Athlinks somewhere, but it was 5-something, I think, 5:12 maybe. And I just kept going and I mentally figured out ways, your mental bag of tricks to finish the race. Cause I ran it by myself and, you know, but it was the most beautiful course. Let's see if there's any Marine Corps, of course, is an amazing race. Paris was amazing. The Athens Marathon, you finished in the Colosseum and you started at, I can't remember where it started. It was like in this historic place, you know, but I'm terrible with names. But the course itself wasn't that great because you're running the original marathon route. Well, they didn't preserve the route. So it's like you're running on a freeway. I mean, you're not running in any really cool, like going, oh, there's a statue of, you know, Zeus. And it's nothing like that. So,
okay, that's good for people to know out there.
You know, I'd love to do Rome. I want to do Chicago. I haven't done New York.
All right, so there's still a lot of room to cover some majors out there.
Yeah.
Now, one of my favorite parts of marathon racing is the signs on the course.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any favorites that you've laughed at or something that really inspire you to keep going?
Oh, yeah, there's been signs like, you look really skinny, you know, or worst parade ever. You know, there's all sorts of signs, but you know, the power up signs where they have like the Yu-Gi-Oh ball or whatever, the Pokemon ball. I mean, those are always fun because I have kids, and so my son was a big Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh. So you get most of the references, but the people who come out and they make the signs and they come out and they take time out of their day to cheer everybody on. I mean, just the fact that they showed up and they're holding these big signs up in and of itself is cool. So if you've got little kids out there or people with signs, you make an effort to go and say thank you in some way by either acknowledging them, high-fiving them, whatever it is, because they took time out to show up and support you while you're running.
That's a great point there. And, you know, I always slap the power up signs, always gives me a boost of energy. And, you know, at the end of the day, these people are, you know, oftentimes they might have a family member or a friend in the race. Other times, you know, especially in New York, I thought there was just a ton of people just out there supporting humanity at the end of the day and people pushing themselves. So I totally agree there. Always got to give a shout out to the sign holders. Mm-hmm. Now, I am curious what kind of gear you're wearing and if there's anything specific, you know, shoe-wise or apparel that you always go to on the gear side.
Okay, so first off, I always like to say I'm not built like a runner, but I run. So obviously, my body has changed over time. You know, as you run, the more you do it, things start to change. But I have, dare I say, big boobs. So I love the Enel running bras, E-N-E-L-L. They're great because, I mean, they strap you in and nothing moves. You don't get road rash. It's amazing. I am a big Hoka wearer. I wear tests for them as well. It's nice because they're up here in Goleta, so it makes it really convenient. But when I went to run my very first marathon, my biggest problem was my feet. My feet hurt so bad. And I was trying all these shoes. I mean, I tried every brand out there. Luckily, Roadrunner, which is our local running store, and that's where one of the stores we run out of, that one in mile 26, but they are great support for us. And they have a 90-day money-back guarantee. And I used the heck out of that when I first started running because I went through like eight different types of shoes. And then my girlfriend said, hey, try these Hoka shoes. She goes, they're really bulky looking, but if your feet are hurting you and you're, you know, the constant pounding is bothering the bottoms of your feet, they might help. So I ran my very first marathon in the original Cliftons, and I have run pretty much every other marathon, and every offshoot of Clifton, there was like, I think Clifton 2s and the 3s, I didn't like the top piece. So I think I switched over to one of their other brands, their other, you know, types. But yeah, I have been a big Hoka supporter because, I mean, you're only as good as your body, right? And if you can't, if your body can't handle the run, and this is a kinetic chain. So when your feet hit that ground, that pounds per inch or whatever you want to call it of pressure goes up. So if you have, if you have a good base in your shoes, then that's less wear and tear on your joints. So yeah,
definitely. Yeah. That's a great suggestion there. We've had a lot of guests so far suggest Hoka. So I'll have to check those out as well. Now I am curious in terms of recommendations for training. You're a coach out here. Mm-hmm. You mentioned you subscribe to the Galloway walk run mm-hmm. method. What kind of recommendations do you have maybe for first timers, maybe some folks that are, you know, over 50 as well, because, you know, that's your experience.
Well, I think that run, walk, run, we like to call it Jeffing it. That term was actually coined by, there's this huge group in the UK, and it's called Girls That Jeff, and they call it Jeffing it, you know, and they love Jeff. And so we were like, well, we Jeff it too. So we started a group here called Just Jeffing It. But if you're going to run your first marathon, let's say you started later in life, even if you start, we have people who are in their 20s and stuff doing it because it really just makes sense. And I know people out there say, well, if you don't run the whole thing, you're not really a runner. I say bullpucky, because you're out there, unless you're an elite athlete, you're walking some form of the course anyways. All we do is we say, we're going to plan when we take our walk breaks. Whether you're doing, you can do a 30-second run, 30-second walk break. You can do an 8-minute run in a 30-second walk break. It's all based on, old Galloway was 1 minute. New Galloway is all based on 30-second walk break. What the walk break does is it allows your body to do what's called active recovery. So you're recovering during the whole race. So when I run a marathon, I can walk the next day. You know, if it's a quad bus, or let's say it's a big downhill, I might have a couple days, like walking down the stairs.
Always
the
tough.
Next day is always tough, but it's not debilitating. I got all my toenails, you know, there's no issues. So the active recovery of run walk, I cannot say enough about it because, you know, I'm doing, I did 6 marathons, 6 weeks in a row. It just happened that I was, you know, I signing up for races. I think there's got to be a group for people like a, you know, when you sign up for too many races where they do an intervention. Right?
Yeah, there should be some sort of a list that keeps track
and
of
I
you
was,
folks.
I was looking at my calendar and I was like, oh, I have a race this weekend. And then I look, oh, I have a race the next weekend. And oh, I have a race. So I had like 6, but each time I ran, I got a little faster and I got a little, so my original PR, it was grandma's marathon and I think I ran a 4:42 and that was the first time I looked at that and I thought, you know, qualifying for Boston, I can do this. And that was like the five of six races, but because I, you know, did the recovery and I did the whole program, it wasn't a problem. So
love that method. And now let's go back a second. You mentioned grandma's marathon. Mm-hmm. What is that race?
So that, I told you about Fargo. So grandma's is in Duluth, Minnesota.
Duluth. Okay.
Okay. So it's a death. It's such a popular race. It's, you know, growing up in the Fargo, Moorhead, Minnesota, Fargo, North Dakota area, Duluth was always for whatever reason, it was a place people wanted to go. It's on Lake Superior. So it is a great flat race. And it's just a great race and people love it and they sell out every year. It's a weird one, right? Because who wants to go to Duluth, Minnesota for a vacation? But I guess a lot of people.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, so Grandma's Marathon in Duluth. We'll have to check that out. One of our other guests, Janet Slosberg, also mentioned she loved that race. So.
She did. She came out. She and we shared a hotel room because it's expensive to go to Duluth. You know, the hotels are like $400 or $500 a night. It's ridiculous.
They probably take advantage of that one big weekend of the year.
They do. So she and her daughter came out and they shared a suite with us, and it was myself and another friend of mine, Carol Ann, and then Naomi came out, who is another Galloway runner, and she lives in Washington, D.C. area. I believe she lives closer to Jersey, though. But anyways, we all went out there, and we ran that race together, and it's kind of fun because you go to these races, and you meet up with people you know or people you've never met, but you know them somehow, and you run with them.
The running community, it's everywhere and stronger than ever. That's amazing, Sherry. Now, let's just wrap up with two last questions here. I am just curious, what kind of runners do you admire out there?
I admire anybody who gets out there and does it. I think that if you're out there and you're doing the work and you're putting in the work, you know, and you want to run a marathon, I'll get you to the finish line. I tell people I had this gal once and I could hear her behind us. We were running the Mountains to Beaches race, which is one of our local races. We have Mountains to Beaches and the Ventura Marathon. They're both very fast Boston qualifiers. And she was behind me and I could hear her because she was wearing the wrong equipment. So she was wearing like a hiking backpack and you could hear her sloshing around. And when we would walk, she would walk and I just would see her out of my, so she was like, you know, 10 feet back following us and doing what we were doing. So I turned and I said, you know, you can come up and run with us. It's okay. We, you know, she's like, well, I didn't know. So she was in her 20s and she was a nurse. And I said, oh, so what was your longest training run? She goes, I've actually never run before. I just decided to come out and run a marathon. And I said, well, you know, basically I said to her, well, you're a nurse, right? And she goes, yeah. And I go, so you know how dumb this is, don't you? And she's like, yeah, I'm figuring that out. And I said, well, I'll get you to the finish line, but it's not going to be pretty. And I said, and you're on vacation. You're going to be in traction for like 2 weeks because you haven't trained. She finished.
Wow.
She finished.
Finished with no training and no running. That's amazing.
I was with the different people. And so they went ahead and I stayed back with her and I slowed down for her, but just the encouraging and getting her to the finish line. And sometimes you have to yell at people like, hey, we've talked about this, get up here, let's go. But you get them to the finish line and they appreciate it.
Amazing. And people out there who are listening, you couldn't see Sherry, but I think she just whipped someone in the behind there a little bit.
You're like, come on.
Come on. All right. Well, that's pretty amazing. And I agree with you. You know, anyone doing a marathon is pretty incredible and something that, you know, we just need to respect and honor. Now, in summary, the podcast is called Why We Marathon. Mm-hmm. In 2 to 3 sentences, can you sort of sum up that really gut emotional reason why you run marathon races?
I run marathons because I can. I run marathons because, you know, I was given a second chance. And when you get that second chance, you don't let a day go by where you don't try and be the best you can be. And so for me, helping others and running marathons, and, you know, I have a dear friend, and we weren't really that close when we did this, but she had a double knee replacement. So she had both knees replaced at the same time. We were doing Dopey. It was my second Dopey. And she wanted to run a half marathon, and she wanted to finish like 3 hours and 15 minutes or something. And one of the most rewarding things that I did, and I had a friend of mine was there, is we got her to the finish line. And so doing stuff like that, there's just nothing more rewarding than seeing the look on people's faces when they've realized a dream or a goal that they've had, and you help them get there. It's that's what keeps me going. My group keeps me going, and they keep me accountable. I just love it.
I love that, and the inspiration. I'm already feeling it, and I want to get out there running today. So thank you so much for joining us today, Sherry. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.